This is Drew, and you are listening to Club Oral Fixation. Every episode, we take an album and tear it to pieces, but from a queer perspective, so it's fine. This episode, we discuss Future Nostalgia by Dua Lipa and Club Future Nostalgia by Dua Lipa and the Blessed Madonna, which were both released by Warner in 2020. All music clips are used for review and critique. Now let's get physical!
Yeah, sure, one day.
How's she queer?
She is queer.
Is she actually
queer? She's actually queer, so you can shut the fuck up.
I should know that, shouldn't I? Anyway, are we on?
We're on.
Okay.
This is Dua Lipa, and you're listening to Club Future Nostalgia.
Okay, let's straight off the bat. That is... The Club Future Nostalgia is a Radio 1 essential mix.
It truly is.
Annie Mac... Boots house down.
I'd actually probably say it's a bit more elevated in terms of it.
What do you mean?
It was literally curated by the Blessed Madonna and has DJs spanning from the last three decades who've each taken a song that's arguably better than any Radio 1 mini mix.
Okay, right. What I'm saying is that the style of it, I was made to feel like I was listening to an essential mix.
100%. I was driving home in my purple Ford Fiesta, three doors, and it's 5:30 on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that the Midlands is known for sunsets, but let's just imagine the sky's a bit pink.
The WM. It's
queer, yeah. In the WM. And I am getting ready for... what I believe is probably a really cool night out on the tiles, but it's actually probably just me staying in with a Marks and Spencer's meal for two, £10, and I'll eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
Either way, it's got those Saturday vibes.
It's a Saturday, it's a Friday night, it's a Saturday night. Mm. And we'll get onto this more when talking about this album, but I, the thing I love so much about this album is the fact that it feels like an album I would have been listening to in the early 2000s, mid-2000s. There are influences throughout from like the 70s onwards, I guess. But I felt like this was an album created for 18-year-old me, and I stand that. Hallucinate is a Stonebridge song.
Sorry, just to confirm, I think we need to make it... You're on about the main album,
Main album. And then... Club Future Nostalgia is like the club of the day.
Yeah, right.
Back in that day, interpretation of the main album. But it's very... It was literally nostalgic to me. That's what I'm saying to you.
I love that. Well, she did her job.
Yeah.
Big, big tick but from Dula Peep.
Now, let me preface this conversation before we get into it by saying, Andy, true or false... You had some trepidations about discussing this album.
Did?
Do they still exist?
I'm confident we can stretch this out for 45 minutes. No, it's fine. It's fine. I know you've got your reasons why. Listeners, we are, unless you have no idea already, you dingbat, listening to... we're talking Dua Lipa's... Is it Dua Lipa? Dua
Lipa? It's Dua Lipa.
How do you know it's a Jew sound? It's a do. Like, how do you know that? What does she say it is?
She says this is Dua Lipa and you're listening to
Club Future Nostalgia. Fine. It's her. It's this album. It's Future Nostalgia, which came out at the start of 2020. We're also going to touch on Club Future Nostalgia, which was released a few months later. And I said to Drew a few days ago, Drew... I am not entirely sure if this person has the credentials that other artists on this podcast have had to justify a full episode. No way did I mean that gays don't love her because the gays adore her. But what I've got my head around is many of the artists who do an oral fixation are kind of like legacy artists. They're sort of vanguard artists.
The vanguard gays.
They've got... the beauty of hindsight to see what the artist did in the context of that time period. And we've only really gone as contemporary as Ariana Grande.
Mm.
and she lived through specific experiences. Anyway, so we don't really do new. We don't do new. And I feel like, I feel hesitant to do an album which came out in the last year. But you're now going to explain what those credentials might be.
Well, first and foremost, I think it's important to say that listeners, we quite literally hear you, okay? We see you, we hear you, we feel you. And we did a little bit of crunching of numbers and found out that a lot of people that listen to the podcast, you can do this thing on Spotify where you find out what people, your listeners, also listen to music-wise. And Dua Lipa was in the top five. And everyone else that was in that top five, we'd already discussed or we'd had plans to discuss. And I thought it was important to give the people what they want. If you build it, they will come. So first and foremost, our listeners love Dua Lipa's music or at least connect with it in some way. And second of all, I think that the reason I wanted to talk about this album in particular was because, as you said, Andy, it came out at the beginning of 2020. I think it came out maybe February or March.
It was all completely wrapped up pre-COVID.
Wrapped up pre-COVID, but yeah. Came out...
in COVID.
In COVID.
Yeah.
And this, to me, is like... I view this album not quite at the stratospheric level of Chromatica. Shout out to my Spotify Unwrapped, which came out today. But this and Chromatica, to me, are the two, like, lost club albums of COVID. If COVID hadn't happened, we would have been in that club dancing to Physical. And yes. We haven't got to yet. And that, to me, that it just strikes me that that's... there's a young generation of queer people who have been robbed of that, like going to the club when they're like 18 and dancing to that song that they love.
And I wouldn't say an entire generation. Like, well, they'll get the moment.
Will they get the moment?
Shout out to Sydney loosening its lockdown laws and 50 people can be on the dance floor.
50 queer people will be at Stonewall come next weekend. Yes. Dancing to Physical.
Literally. And also, though, on that note, let's not pay complete dust to Disco by Kylie Minogue, What's Your Pleasure by Jessie Ware, and Roisin Machine by Roisin Murphy, which all
say that seven times
kind
quickly.
Of sit in this... all of them, including Chromatica... are all love letters to the dance floor.
All
of them are, whether it's 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, or a mix of all of the above. And there's something about all of these albums that they all, to different levels, were produced mostly before COVID, but having them released in COVID, they took on this new life of which you've just reflected on. The fact that we can't dance to them has made it even more poignant that they are... all love letters to the dance floor.
It took on a whole new meaning, and there's this kind of it gives them, to me, it gives them so much more clout, but it makes them a little bit sadder to listen to because we can't all come together on the dance floor, so to speak, and listen to these songs. I also think that in sort of when I first heard Future Nostalgia, I thought, yeah, this is fine. I've never stanned Dua, and I'm not a huge Dua stan to this day. But over time, it's really... all of the parts of the album, including the Club Future Nostalgia remix album, have kind of come together to me. And even though it's only been 9 months or whatever since it came out, it's really... it's a really, really great piece of pop history, I think.
I agree.
And yes, you're right, and I completely agree with you that we tend to lean on legacy, Remember My Name artists, which I think we'll continue to do. But it's also exciting to inject some newer music into the pod.
Some newer music.
Some newer, spelt
N-U-A.
But how do you know it's not newer?
It's newer. Newer.
It's newer. She's queer. So that's why I wanted to discuss her.
Yeah.
And also I want to get the listens up. We want to get to 30,000 ASAP.
30 million, dog. We've passed that ages
yeah,
ago.
We've passed it.
I have no real qualms about
did you
okay? About Dua Lipa.
Did you what before Nutrifostalgia? What was your... how did you... who was she?
My interpretation of Dua Lipa, and no shade to it if you're listening to this, because I know you've got your fingers on the pulse, is... the first album that came out, I really loved Be The One.
Mm.
I
by Mel C.
But I felt like I didn't want... I didn't have enough evidence to buy into the Dua mythology as of yet. She was very young. And there's something about very new pop stars who've been put together through talent, but like A&R executives, where it's all a bit of a testing ground. And not all the pop girls make it to album two.
We know that's for damn sure.
But when you make it to album two and not only completely surpass what you did before... I have to say full props to her mama for a completely cohesive, well-rounded, classique pop campaign. This is pop star classique.
This is classique in the middle of a pandemic.
Pandemic. It's got visuals. Stunning album cover, superb music videos. Let's not forget all of them done in pandemic.
Not all of the visuals? Physical was pre-pandemic.
Okay.
Anyway, go on.
A cohesive oral collection.
Yes.
There's one song, which we'll get to, which sticks out for me, but I've read today that it was purposely stucketh out of.
Let's see. We'll not do it yet, but when the time comes, we'll say one.
Now.
Pretty please.
Yeah.
But when the time comes, we'll say 1, 2, 3, and we'll both say the song that I think that you're talking about, and we'll see if we both got the same finger on the pulse, honey, okay?
But the last thing I'll say is she, as a very young person in London, I don't dare to pretend that I understand what it's like to be an international pop star, but I can imagine a young, passionate artist who'd worked really hard on making a second album better than the first and was really hitting their stride, and then to have to release that body of work in an event which none of us have ever experienced before. She's spoken quite openly about the obvious anxieties about releasing music during COVID when no one really knew what was going on. She's really pulled it out the bag. We can sit here 9 months after COVID came out, after COVID was released, and sit here with the hindsight of she actually did a really good job. And the reason that we're talking about Club Future Nostalgia as well is not only because it's full of bangers, but that was specifically made during a pandemic to reflect a pandemic and to reflect what had happened.
And we will get onto that, but... it's what she did and the people that she collaborated with was kind of fucking world class across the board. Mm. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
What do you think, why do you think both of us know that this is pop star classique? There's something that speaks to me, which is very different from... how I think pop music has evolved over the last 5 to 10 years, that this album feels like a big budget, record label back to the nines, pop campaign from late 90s, early 2000s, where there's money thrown behind it, but there's the quality to deserve that.
Yeah. I think that is what makes it... I think that nowadays, albums are fewer and further between. People generally would probably release EPs and singles. Mm-hmm. I mean, people do still make albums, but an album with streaming, etc., is just less of an event. And perhaps I think that the production was there. I think that the visuals, as you say, were there. All the campaign was there. But also I think that as a collective group of humans...
Queers.
And everyone in between... because of the pandemic, we had space to receive it and kind of, I guess, investigate it a little bit more or really take everything in rather than it just being this like throwaway, okay, here's an album, it's just come out,
you're
whatever.
Right.
Maybe that's the case, but I also think that had done her research on this. It's the references, the samples that she uses, it's all kind of like... good, solid, gold pop foundations, music foundations. Building on that is the campaign. And I think to accompany that is the fact that we all just were able to take a lean back and just receive the information that we were given by her in a way that we were a little bit more attuned to, because... ain't nothing else really going on but the rent.
You've got a really beautiful way of talking about like laying back and receiving. What's that all about?
I don't know.
You really connect with it. Yeah.
But the thing that I think is really interesting about this album is the fact that Dua Lipa, so Be The One came out, I think, in like 2016 or 2017. And then she had her first album with songs like Hotter Than Hell.
New Rules.
And then she did like, at the same time, kind of the Calvin Harris stuff and Electricity.
That was when I really started to listen.
That was when it was listened.
Yes. I was stuck in traffic on a grim Melbourne day when I first heard Be The One. The other songs from the album were decent radio dance floor fodder, but didn't grab my big old gay attention. But the song with Calvin Harris, One Kiss?
Mm.
Oh, that got me, girl.
One. So I saw Dua Lipa. Do you remember in the Carly Rae Jepsen episode I told you that I saw Carly Rae Jepsen headline Brighton Pride 2017?
I hear you.
Excuse me, lady.
It's vibrating beneath me.
Dua Lipa was also on the bill. And she came out, she probably would have been like
12.
Honestly, I mean, how old is she now? She was probably 19 or 20. And she came out and she was just so blah. She was so, no offense to it if you are listening, and hi sis if you are. She was just so boring. And I remember I was there with my friend Joe. We both loved Be The One and we were like, yay, can't wait to see her sing Be The One. She did that and a couple more others. And I just remember, I literally remember looking to Joe and saying to him, she's not a pop star. She's just not a pop star. She just seemed like a girl that had gone to like Sylvia Young and had a nice voice and had been like kind of so produced by a record company and kind of thrown out there. But she did not command. I didn't see her I by no means saw her as an artist. And I didn't see her as having, it's obviously become so pastiche now, but the X Factor or any kind of star quality really at all. And that's why I kind of didn't really know her for so long. And then when One Kiss came out, I was like, it's a bop. When Electricity came out, I was like, okay, no, that's
Silk City.
That's a bop. But it wasn't until this album, and really, even when Don't Start Now came out, I was like, right, fine. But for me, the turning point was Physical. That song, that is a solid gold pop song. The video with the kind of like different colours and it's like a Venn diagram of different parties coming on. It's very Christina Aguilera, Come On Over to me, because it's like colour blocking and like it's the rainbow. It's literally a colour blocking Venn diagram of the rainbow flag.
Do you know where she first performed that song?
Sydney Mardi Gras. Just before the pandemic hit.
Shout out to us who were not at that event. We were at Loose End. Shout out to DJ Matt Vaughn.
But something switched. I don't know what happened in between the Dua I saw at Brighton Pride and the Dua we have now. But she is now this, like, I've been reading interviews with her. She's like an artist. And like,
why though?
Because
what's different?
I think that there are so many reasons. Her command of how she describes what she's doing,
she's done the research.
Her references and her research, but also the way that she's able to be like playful and kind of campy. For Physical, she released the main video, but then also like a accompanying like workout video that was super like 80s and camp and ridiculous, and it's like, and like tits and ass and like hot, like muscly gay dancers behind
very
her, kind
retro
of like
sweat.
Very retro sweat. Very the challenge in Drag Race season 3 where Stacey Lane Matthews is just shaking the thing. Shake it, girl, shake it.
Very the challenge in episode 2 Drag Race Holland.
Very that.
Very Jane Fonda. Very you get the.
You get the very
call on me,
John. Very very Eric Prydz Call on Me, and that is
that's
in
it.
Itself, and
no,
that
that's
in
it.
Its that in itself is mid 2000s. It's that,
yes.
And it's those, it's like the Studio 2054 stuff. All of the stuff that she's doing, the Blessed Madonna, Club Future Nostalgia, it's all just a heightened artist curated output that I did not expect from that
girl at
Brighton Pride, mildly gesticulating as she sung Be The One.
I completely agree with all of that, and maybe to reflect on my initial hesitations, bear with me on this, listeners.
Okay.
What I think maybe what speaks to queer fans, and I'm probably talking specifically about the gay boys out there.
Little gay boys. Shout out to all our little gay boys.
We saw that growth. We saw that growth. I don't want to bag on Duet anymore. We've both made it clear that we weren't impressed with that first album, but props to you, because we're so impressed with this new era where you have... I'm speaking to her like she's listening. You know yourself, little girl.
Well, Andy, I've got a surprise for you. Turn around.
Oh, you made it through the 2-week quarantine. Come on in. Pull up a seat. It's the Blessed Madonna. She's elevated her output. Oh. Thank you.
She's
hallucinating over... Nah, she's evolved and she's done really, really well. Let's start with the music. I need to confess, I want to start with the main album. I actually iconically know the remix album a lot better than the original album.
Do you know what, Tits? Ditto. So I
Doll.
I knew the main album more when it came out. And then in researching for this brief, for this project, I had one quick squiz of the main and then I went to the remix. Mm. Because that... Oh, it's just... It's clubbing. It's so good to me. And then, like, we'll literally list the collaborators, but the DJs specifically... Let's not do the guest vocalists for the timing. Well, should we... Hold up. Should we do...
Hold up. We need to start with the main album.
Do the main.
Yeah, sorry if anyone's getting pissed off. There's just so much to talk about.
We'll do mini, then we'll do main.
Let's talk about first what you've referenced a couple of times on the era that this album sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
This album is specifically... based on her childhood listening. And that is why we need to be quite careful when we throw around terms like Studio 54. I know she just did her live stream called like Studio 2050 or whatever, but this album isn't a 70s love letter. It's a love letter to the early 2000s in which there was so much 70s revival. So with the pop girls this year, you've got your Jessie Ware's and your Kylie's and your Roisin Murphy's who've done... modern versions of disco to varying degrees and different kind of strands. But Dua has hints of Jamiroquai.
Mm.
She has hints of like early 2000s club pop, which was in the charts.
Well, to me, like I said before, it's literally like Head Candy, Stonebridge, like Angel City, like those kind of like... Rapture, IO Rapture. It's like all that kind of like...
It's specifically about 2005.
It's even 2004 to 2006.
Okay, let's sit on that because you've got influences from Love Angel Music Baby by Gwen Stefani.
Yes.
I'm not ready for the Immaculate section, but it's clearly...
It's coming.
That specific album, listeners,
yes.
You know what I'm talking
about.
It's... Jamiroquai features on Future Nostalgia. It's that it is mid-2000s.
Well, I read a quote the other day from a guy who wrote for Variety saying that Future Nostalgia is an MTV era album that just so happens to not be of the MTV era.
Hmm.
And that is why I loved it so much, because the MTV era spans like probably from like the mid-80s to the end of the 2000s. So there's quite a big chunk there. But it's like the last... Great. It's
Hurrah.
Making the video. Mm. It's fanatic. It's that.
TRL
it's
UK.
TRL
from Leicester
UK
Square.
From Leicester Square. It's that.
Yeah.
It's very that.
It's VT.
It's VT.
Where's the rest of that rosé?
It's just down here. Excuse my French. Oh, you're really plowing through the rosé, doll. Are you okay? Are you sure you're going to be able to
Sounds
articulate
a bit
yourself?
Judge Judy there, don't
oh,
you?
No, never.
Never.
I'd never judge.
We're kicking off with what's the opening track?
Don't Start Now. Well, oh, sorry, Future Nostalgia is the opening track, but the lead single was Don't Start Now, so up to you.
Incredible, exquisite, the
never
sister
before.
I never had, the dad I always wanted. Ooh. Don't Start Now is that bitch.
Is it to you?
It didn't become the bitch, until I saw the performance at the MTV EMAs, where
Europe?
She had about... 200 dancers behind her. Her body is snotched.
She's snotched.
And that kind of really brought the song alive for me.
The thing that brought the song alive for me, again, she does all this, like, side stuff. So the main video is, like, her, I think, like, in a club, pissed off. Did you fall one? She also did, I think it's, like, for Spotify or something, a live recording of it. And it's this live video. I'll send it to you. It's this live video of her with all, like, live musicians and, like,
oh, it's the
singers.
Remix. It's called the Live from LA remix or
yes,
something.
Yeah. And that, like, that as well, that is...
It got its own music video.
That is...
Did you say that?
Yes.
Sorry, I've had a bit of
the excuse, my French. That is an artist, like, with clarity.
She's giving
me what I need. Who's in the public eye and, like, just owning it. Mm. Like, that shit is what takes it to the next level for me. Anyway, did you fall 180, baby? Or did you do a 180 on Don't Start Now because you started and you thought it was a bit blah, but then you saw the EMA performance and then you turned around?
All of that. Yeah.
And now it's interesting seeing people like Melanie C, who we discussed last week.
Last Fortnite.
Her new stuff, In and Out of Love, specifically references Don't Start Now, I would say. The cowbells. It's all Don't Start Now, adjacent, ascendant, rising. But when it first came out, I was still not fully on the Dua bandwagon at that point. I was like, this is fine, but I don't understand why everyone's creaming their jeans over it.
So you hopped on the bandwagon for Physical. Now, I wasn't really that impressed. I think I read a description where it was like Olivia Newton-John's Physical mixed with Blondie's Heart of Glass, and I just really expectedly got my hopes up, and it is neither of those things. It just shares a title with one of them. But lately, it's really grown on me. It's a banger with a soft G.
With a soft G, okay, so not a hard G. So are there any songs on the main? Let's just get the main out of the way.
Yeah,
what
right.
are your like high highs from the main?
The song, which I think is different to anything else on Future Nostalgia, is
1, 2, 3,
Hallucinate.
Oh, interesting. Why? Because Hallucinate is literally from 2005.
Hallucinate, I guess it is, but Hallucinate is specifically referencing kind of the artists who you said earlier, like the Head Candies and the Stonebridge. The rest of the album I actually don't think does.
Interesting.
The rest of the album is more skewed Jamiroquai, early 2000s disco. Hallucinate is specifically like kind of the pop dance coming back from Ibiza.
Got it.
In my opinion.
I think that Boys Will Be Boys is so completely different.
Why so?
Look, gotta preface this by saying love the message.
Girls will be women.
Girls will be women. It's all about how like toxic masculinity is inherited, and that's an awful thing, and I completely agree with that. It's just a really, really boring song to me.
On the main album.
Sonically. On the main. On the main.
On the main stage.
Shout outs to Cool, which to me is a direct descendant of Gwen Stefani.
Cool.
Even to the point where it has the same name, but it's that kind of more chilled, like, softer side of Gwen. Good in Bed is a Lily Allen song.
Yeah, and I don't like it.
Okay. The one I hate most is Break Your Heart. But there's a specific reason for that. I love In Excess and I love the...
Is it because you've had your heart broken?
I have had my heart broken, but luckily I've done the work. Mm. You know, I've done that work and I'm over it now. So if you're listening, you know, that wasn't me. But I have done the work. The reason I don't like that song is because it's nothing to do with Dua, really. It's just the fact that there's... I won't mention his name, but there's a friend of a friend who's this gay guy who, as part of his pandemic side hustle, as so many of ours was
OnlyFans.
Worse than that, TikTok. And he...
Can you mouth his name to me?
I'll show you his Instagram later. You don't know his name.
Oh.
Maybe you've met him, but He would do that thing where he's, I think he's, maybe not even on TikTok, but he's doing TikToks on Instagram before we had Reels. But him and his gay friends would dance to like, I should have stayed at home, but I was doing better alone. But it's just like really half-assed dancing. And I
don't do anything half-assed apart from walk around.
Shout out to my underdeveloped glutes.
If Alice is listening, that was for you, Del.
Anyway, Hallucinate and Cool are my favourite album tracks. Oh, wait, Hallucinate might have been released as a single, but yeah, that's my tea on future nostalgia before we get into the main. I mean, we've done the main and we're going into the remix, but the remix is the main.
The thing is, guys, as we've said, this album was made and wrapped up solidly pre-COVID. And let's just talk a bit more about it in the fact that Dua reached out to people like Ian Kirkpatrick, who she'd worked with before and has done loads of amazing stuff. He's kind of one of those arbiters of what very modern pop sounds like right now. She also specifically reached out to Stuart Price. Stuart Price off of Aphrodite by Kylie.
Mm.
Many Pet Shop Boys albums. You know where I'm going with this, guys. Confessions on a Dance Floor.
Yes.
Let's just...
Are we going to open the section?
Let's go to the section.
Okay.
The Immaculate section. What really switched me onto this album, no lie, no shock, is Dua openly speaking in interviews about how much Confessions on a Dance Floor influenced this.
Mm-hmm.
And what's particularly cool to me about that is so many of the pop girls will, of course, pay their dues to Madonna and say how much she influenced them, but it will often be 80s stuff.
Yeah.
Or if we're lucky, we'll get 90s stuff. We, the queers, know how special Confessions is, and it's validating as a queer fan to see a pop girl go, do you know what? When I was a kid, Confessions came out and it had this huge impact on me.
That is iconic.
It is. So not only did she incorporate that among the other influences into the sound of the album, but she went direct to the source and worked with Stuart Price.
Yeah.
And props to her mama.
And didn't Jacques Lacan do stuff on Confessions?
Stuart Price's Gemini twin.
Oh, are they the same person?
Yeah. Did you not know that?
No.
Why did you just say that then?
Because Jacques Lacan worked on Confessions.
That's Stuart Price's alter ego.
I literally didn't know that.
Did you not know that?
No!
Oh my God! That is one of Stuart Price's alter egos. Another is the Thin White Duke.
What?
Yes!
Am I so stupid?
Your mind is being blown on air. So,
Thin White Duke, oh my God.
There's incredible remixes by the Thin White Duke.
Royksopp. Yes.
Gwen Stefani.
Yes.
Jacques Lacan. And they are all from the mind of the wonderful Stuart Price.
Oh my God.
Yes, yes.
Am I really dumb for not knowing that, though?
Not at all. Not at all.
I'm the everyman.
You're the everyman. Okay, and the Immaculate section is a great segue into, speaking of going straight to the source, it's badass that she just got Madge to feature on a track.
Well, I like to think that Madonna got a call from Dua's people.
She's nursing a broken hip.
She's just coming off the Madame X tour. She's deep in pandemic. She doesn't know what the next step is.
She's in a Google Doc with Juno, what's her name, writing the script.
Yeah, just figuring out next steps.
David's running around with a soccer ball. She's like, watch the chandelier.
She's got a rosé in hand. And
some chips. She's eating a lot of potato chips at the moment.
Is she?
Yes.
And, you know, obviously Dua's one of the biggest pop stars in the world right now.
Before you get to that, here's the tea, because I want you to do what you're going to do. But I believe that she was specifically approached for this because she's now back on Warner Brothers, which was her main record label for 30 years, apart from the last decade where she went to Live Nation. She's recently been signed back to Warner, of which Dua is probably the biggest, youngest artist.
Right.
So they're now on the same record label. So she gets the call and what happens?
Well, so Madonna's sitting around... Have I done this bit to you before?
No. I'm so excited. This is like Nadia Ginsburg tease.
Yes. So Madonna's sitting there and she gets the call. And they're like, oh, hi, Madonna. We've got a potential possibility for you to do a collaboration with Dua. And Madonna's just like, yes, I'll do it.
Oh. I didn't think that was going to be the joke.
The joke is Madonna. Of course Madonna jumped on Dua.
Sorry, no. Not to piss all over your joke, but I thought it was going to be who?
No. Oh. Madonna would have been like, abso-fucking-lutely, let's get physical, but let's also get relevant.
And speaking of other relevant artists, let's get Missy Elliott on there as well.
This is the thing.
Thank you.
If I was... Look, I like to pretend that I'm 10 years younger than I am. If I was Dua Lipa and I had been inspired by Missy Elliott and Gwen Stefani and Madonna and...
And Jamiroquai.
And suddenly became huge, you can bet your ass... And Mark Ronson, you can bet your ass... I'd call them up and say, let's fucking do this. That is so cool to do that.
So cool. And she's kind of living the dream.
She's literally living the dream, but she has the chops to back it up because everyone's kind of, because she's become such a hot commodity. Mm-hmm. And that, and the list doesn't end there. You've got like, Grimes is on there.
Mm-hmm. Where?
Grimes is on a track, doll.
Sorry, what?
Yeah.
How have I missed that?
Yeah.
I listen to this album nearly daily.
She is on, let me just get my notes. Grimes is credited on... The Horse Meat Disco remix of Love Again.
I did not know that.
Horse Meat Disco, by the way.
Queer.
Huge queer night.
Queer. You said you were going to do this earlier, but I think it's pretty badass to do it. The list of collaborators on Club Future Nostalgia, which in case you haven't already clicked on or you don't know, is a curated, it's about an hour long. So a lot of the songs on Future Nostalgia have actually multiple remixes. They were all overseen by Dua and Chicago fabulous queer DJ, The Blessed Madonna. But each track is remixed by a different legendary DJ. Mm. Starting with Joe Goddard from Hot Chip. I haven't heard of JDG, God bless. But Masters at Work are an enormous late 80s, early 90s house outfit. They've basically remixed anyone. Drew just touched on Horse Meat Disco. They literally feature Jamiroquai and Dimitri from Paris, who is an exemplary French DJ who's worked with Chic and Nile Rodgers. Hallucinate, the two Hallucinate remixes are glorious to me. I have a point where actually, when I'm in the shower, I start the album on Break My Heart. It then goes into Levitating, featuring Madonna and Missy Elliott, then Hallucinate. Love is Religion. Who are you texting?
No one.
Right.
Sorry, Peter just texted me saying, where are you tonight? And I forgot to stop recording.
So you're not listening to every word that I'm saying.
As soon as you said Love is Religion, let's do it.
That is not
That's
on the original
an
album.
Original track. And when it first came out, I was like, is this a cover of like an old song?
Mm.
But it's not, right? It's like an original song. And that is one of my favourite songs.
I can only
album.
Assume it was a leftover which didn't make it onto the album, but thank
how?
God.
How didn't like, it, yeah. How did it yeah. not make it on there? Yeah. Anyway.
Same to That Kind of Woman towards the end, yes. Which is Jacques Lacan, and that's
yeah.
amazing too.
Yeah.
But as we touched on before. Sorry, guys. Sounds like this. Feud. Oh, no, sorry. This album was created as a response to COVID because people could not go out and dance.
Yes.
They couldn't go out and dance to not only the original album, but any music. And I think it's do I go as far as saying it's my favorite reaction to COVID from the pop music world? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that I think is more impressive.
Fuck off, Folklore.
Yeah. Do not give a twat about that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. You, with this album, Club Future Nostalgia, are saying to your listeners and to your target audience, you can't go out. But here's a bit of extra something to keep you going, and one day we will listen to
but
this.
But not even extra. It's like taking the foundations of Future Nostalgia and, for me, bringing it even better. Every single song on Club Future Nostalgia, every remix, I think I prefer, apart from Physical, which is a bit like more stripped back and slower. It's just, it's levitated. Yeah.
Drew, I am not saying this to be purposefully contentious.
Right.
We have talked at length about how much we love this album.
Right.
Your criteria for picking this album for the podcast is spot on. When I check my Spotify Unwrapped, half of it is Club Future Nostalgia. I think we owe a duty to our listeners to try and pull apart why is she and why is this album particularly queer?
Right.
Because we've always said in our criteria for this podcast, it can be an album by a queer artist, it can be an album loved by queer people, it can be a queer album. Mm. So it sits there. I'm not saying it doesn't work.
Yes.
But I have to admit that aside from working with other DJs who are loved by queer people, aside from being inspired by music which is loved by queer people, I am struggling to understand what is queer about this album or this pop star.
I think that the album is queer in the sense that it has been made with a specific feeling and reverence for a space which is so often owned by queer people. What I see is
a potential future gay icon.
A potential future nostalgic gay icon. I see, in what she's done with this album, I see the artistry and the intellect of someone like Madonna or Gaga, who hasn't, she's not done it yet, and
don't start now.
Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that she's the same, but she's of a different era. And I think that what she's doing is so clever and referential and joyful and linked to dance music that I see a spark in her. That's especially with what she did in COVID, a spark to pierce the dark.
I'll say way more than a spark. I really love that answer because I agree with you.
Okay,
I completely agree that this album shows a very promising beginning to a future queer icon, which we did not get on album one.
Oh, at all.
No, album one could have been done by anyone. It was an AR exec in London's wet dream. This album feels like it comes from a girl who knows herself.
Yes.
A little girl who knows herself.
Little girl.
Who now, because of her talent and gravitas, has access to very talented co-writers and collaborators to work with. And I am excited to see what she gives us next. But this whole album, this episode to me, was
this
an exercise. Going back to the start, was an exercise in how does oral fixation tackle contemporary artists?
Mm.
Because we did Ariana, and we know that the listeners love it because we get the emails about it. But she had a very specific
yes.
thing happen to her,
yeah.
which solidified her status. Dua is the first, in my opinion, pop girl who the gays clearly adore, where I was like, I just don't think she's had enough time for us to look at that and be like, yep, she's earned it. But what I think is really cool is, as you articulated so well, this is the beginning.
This is the beginning. And look, I might very well be wrong. I might be backing a horse that ends up falling at the second, third hurdle. But I think that the reason I love this podcast so much is that it is a podcast for
us.
But, and when I say us, I mean all of us. Everyone's invited so long as there is some kind of resonance or connection to the queer community. And I feel like, but before this album, I wouldn't have even dreamed of talking about Dua Lipa on this podcast. But this album, she earned the right to go to Maine for me. In the spectrum of oral fixation, this is probably the furthest we'd go in terms of having earned the right to be discussed by us. But I think that she earned it.
Yeah, right.
And I'm excited to see what she does next, because when I saw that girl in at Brighton Pride, I got a very kind of like Ashley O,
yeah, right.
Pushed out on the stage,
yeah.
Puppet of the record company vibe.
Early Britney without the iconic music video.
Very that.
Yeah.
But now I see a woman that is taking the reins and doing it in a way that, quite interesting, like, interestingly, isn't as combative or aggressive as, say, a Madonna or a Gaga had done it in the past. And we all know that Madonna walked so that Gaga could lightly jog so that Dua can now run. But it strikes me as interesting that we might be witnessing the development of a whole new type of gay icon. And that excites me.
Who maybe didn't start off in a queer world, as in didn't necessarily grow up among drag queens or queer people, but has maybe found a place in a community and is learning about it before our very eyes.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I don't think that I'm imprinting that too much on her.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so either. Paying her lip service. I genuinely believe that.
No, and she's been surrounded by very talented queer people. Deep friend of the pod, Emenike, wrote songs on the first album. So on and so forth.
There are also...
She was at the Attitude Awards last night.
There we go.
She was wearing a little red ribbon for
World AIDS Day.
That's queer.
That's queer. Yeah. That's the beginning.
Future nostalgic pop girls... There are many that we could talk about. I've got a hankering to talk about Charlie X. I think we could also talk about divas like Ali X.
CFCF.
There are plenty to talk about, but there just seems like, with the benefit of hindsight, and you can place an artist in a time and a place, you can also look at like social context and all of that shablam. And I... love that.
Yeah.
And I'm also a little bit twatted.
That's fine that you're twatted, but I think that as much as this podcast is about... This podcast is... A big part of this podcast is looking back and paying homage to our queer forefathers and mothers. But it's also...
Forefathers, more mothers.
For parents. But it's also about looking forward and... That is why this artist is so has a seat at the table, at the oral fixation table, to me. There are a few people that feature on Club Future Nostalgia that we haven't mentioned. The iconic Naina Cherry sample, Buffalo Stance, introduced by Mark Ronson. Remixes by Yeji. Blackpink. And,
sorry, Blackpink are, they might not be specifically in our radar, but they're one of the biggest music acts on the globe
yeah,
right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Sour Candy.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks, doll. Stevie Nicks.
Who owns half of the publishing rights to that song? Prince.
And we all come back to Prince.
No, sorry, but Stevie Nicks coming soon to the pod.
Coming soon.
I can't wait to talk about an old person next.
Yeah, we'll do an old person next, yeah. Dolly. Melanie
well,
C.
I stick to one every fortnight.
Melanie C. was a bit too contemporary. You're right. We should really, yeah, let's go back to the let's go back to the catacombs.
1999 is far too recent.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there again.
No way. No way. Do you have any more... Duity. I'd like to give a shout out to the initial talk. I think it's the initial talk remix of New Rules.
Yep, stunning.
That's stunningly 80s, yep. And I prefer it to the original.
Yeah, of course. And shout out to Initial Talk for everything you do.
Initial Talk?
Yes. The other thing I wanted to say is when I first heard the Levitating remix featuring Madonna and Missy Elliott by the Blessed Madonna.
Yes.
That's a bit confusing, isn't it, that they're both on the same track? Anyway.
It's iconic. It's queer.
I've actually seen the Blessed Madonna before and she closed the set with Borderline. Anyway, that was a moment.
Where was that you saw her?
Manchester, I think.
Oh. Fierce.
When I first heard the remix... I felt like there was something missing from that song. And I spoke about it with my friend on Instagram, Lucy. Shout out to Lucy. Where we were like, it's kind of missing the climax. It's got the journey. But it never has a bit of like an emotional surge.
Got that.
You
spoke to Surge, darling.
But when you hear it in the context of the full mixed album curated by the Blessed Madonna,
that's...
it works as fuck. God.
And what's that? Where did you learn that, doll? Where did you learn that?
Confessions on the Dance
Correct.
Floor. Correct. It's Correct. A journey. It's part a journey. Of a journey.
It's Push. Who listens to Push on its own? No one. Oh, well, not really anyone apart from you. But as part of the journey,
it's the journey.
Laquita,
it's a journey.
It makes sense.
Yes, yes. That's listens.
That is listens.
Yeah.
That was an iconic discussion.
It was a moment.
It was a moment into one moment in time. Will we discuss Jura again? Who knows?
If you've got any contemporary gals or guys or everything in between that you want to hear focused on oral fixation, please do shoot us an email at oralfixationpodcast@gmail.com.
Correct.
By the time this episode launches, we will have a website. www.shithaveleftheironon.co.uk/no I haven't/yes I have. No, it's www.oralfixationpodcast.com.
Bitch, we got a .com.
We got a .com. $18 for a year. Well done, yeah. Google.
Oh, I need to transfer you the money.
You already did, don't
worry. Oh, okay, great. Okay.
So shout out to both our email address and podcast, our website.
Website.
And that's just where we'd really like to hear from you.
That.
Drew, more, socials.
Well, first and foremost, you better subscribe.
You need to before you do anything else.
Yes, subscribe, yes, subscribe, yes, yes. Subscribe. Mm. Okay, the subscription portion of this podcast, it's free.
Add it to your Netflixes, your Stans, your Spotifys, but this one is,
it's free. It's free to subscribe. Yeah. It's even freer to leave a review, and it's even freer than that to leave a 5-star review. So leave a review, leave some comments, tell your friends, but also more importantly, that's the most important thing.
That is the most important.
So you subscribe, you leave a review, you go to the website, you send us an email, then you head to Instagram, right? First and foremost, your first stop is Oral Fixation Podcast on Instagram. You like a few pics. Then you go to my Instagram. It's at With All Due Respect. You give me a cheeky follow and you slide into my DMs. That's fine. Then you go to Andy's. At Andrew, do you think you are? No need to follow. Don't do anything. Just take a look, see the pics and then leave.
I've got enough followers.
Got enough followers. Anyway, we'll do a playlist for you, and it'll just be a mix of bumper, everything, moment of gypsy, whatever. And that's it. Thanks, guys, so much for listening. And let's hope that soon we'll be able to clance to club future nostalgia in the club.
I don't know if we should drink a bottle of wine next time.
Maybe let's just, yeah.
Back off.
I don't know. Just, I think I was fine, but maybe you were a little bit. Mm,
but that's like when you thought the sound quality on Honey Dijon was good.
But that's when you thought the sound quality on Prince was good.
Thank you for listening to our hot and slightly sozzled take on Future Nostalgia and Club Future Nostalgia by Dua Lipa. If you enjoyed this episode, do check out our other contemporary youngins like Years and Years, Communion, or of course, our most listened to episode ever, Ariana Grande, Sweetener, /Thank You Next. They're young, they're hip, they're queer. And if that's too young, there's always Cher.